home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Towson of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and it is a another week of last place baseball around here. But another week, and this is a great week for me. Not only our 27th anniversary, and I'm getting to share delicious things that I've been eating, including Fiesta Mexicana in Rosedale this morning with my coffee in my Dundalk mug, which if anybody is watching out and you remember what East Point looked like, that's good. We're going to be out next week, not just getting around the community, but getting out and talking about some good stuff, some good food, some chefs, some football season, some authors. I will have scratch-offs in the Maryland Lottery. I have lucky sevens because it is our 27th anniversary. Also, press your luck. Hopefully, we're not getting any whammies back this weekend, but I'm in Ocean City, Maryland this weekend, so I will dip my feet in the sand. It's not as sexy as it sounds. I mean, I'm going to be in the convention hall. We're going to be doing Mako. We're going to have some great, great guests. I've already confirmed the controller of the state's going to be by several Congress people, senators, people trying to make government better, trying to make our world better, and all of it this month brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. As I get tastiness, yes, just like it sounds, like tasty cakes, TASTYNES. Tastiness is the hashtag for our 27th anniversary and food that I'm enjoying, trying to fatten Luke up. I caught you at Pizza John's last week, by the way. You don't just wear the hat. I saw you eating a pizza ad on the internet.
It was takeout, but oh, it was good. It was very enjoyable.
Well,
That's
come join
top of
us
the
next
list.
Friday. We're going to be there next Friday, and you can come by. We'll be broadcasting for Pizza John's. Whole schedule's up at Baltimore Positive. Every day we're eating something good, including on the road to Ocean City this week. I want to talk football with you, but there's not much to say in a week where they're going to play in a blimp in Dallas for no one in particular, including their linebacker. And the baseball thing, I spent a lot of weekend at home. I was working. I'm working on this tastiness thing. I'm working on crab cake tours. I'm going to be in Ocean City. Some tidying up things, getting my affairs in order, and like all of that. Just watching the broadcast, watching Rob Long come on, watching Brett Hollander give out Adam Jones things, seeing the place kind of empty. And then they get their ass kicked, and seeing people queue up for these bobbleheads, and then they're pissed off when they don't get them. I had several people. I mean, Justin Fenton, who's a bleeding heart and also a really great reporter, but was beating on him on Twitter. Obviously, they've sent out. They want more money. I'm making my Macaulay Culkin Home Alone. Really? They want more money. I could have told you that when they paid $1.8 billion for the team a year and a half ago, and everything's down. Revenue's down, wins are down, morale's down. Crowd was up for 20 minutes on Saturday night, but I'll tell you what, Luke, and this is like me having a coffee. Thank you to Thomas Rhodes over at Zeke's. And I'm not going to begin this by being a prick, but I must, okay? Adam Jones walked out into the box last weekend at a bananas game. At a bananas game that people were paying $200 to get into. A bananas game. And got a World Baseball Classic USA Hall of Fame thing. And I mean, if it took 48,000 bobbleheads to get pie and pie for everybody, give them little coconut custard pies to take home, something like that. I'm finding this to be really sad, dude. Like we talked about superstar Billy Graham last week, like sitting here 42 years and like Rob Long and Rock Kabako are yucking it up in the pregame, and what else can they do? Kevin Brown and Jim Palmer are having innings with Joe Orsilak, who I love, and he could have sat in there for three innings. Adam Jones could have sat in there for two. It would have kept me more with the ball game, especially once it got out of hand. And obviously, Tom Davis is, I mean, his voice is an institution, and it's Hall of Fame weekend, and I'm not going to begin this with the depression of it, but like Everything about it's terrible. And the broadcast, it's just everything about it's terrible. And I don't know what else, and I wish it weren't that way. And I wish I could be Baltimore positive and sunshine today. But like the whole experience of this, as it's August, makes me want to shut my eyes, draw the curtains, and come back when they have something to watch. And I think most of the world that aren't guys named Aparicio. By the way, I was gonna give out like a Pizza John's card or something. Somebody took a picture of the plaque because I haven't seen the Aparicio. Apparently, there's plaques from the Oriole Hall of Fame players, and Luis is in the Hall of Fame. And I did hear Rock Abaco drop the Aparicio name in the pregame reference in regard to Gunnar Henderson and hits and leading the team in hits and something. I don't know, the stolen bases. That's where we are. I don't know. I'm watching it, and I don't know why, man.
Well, I mean, I can't speak to the broadcast. I was there Friday. I was there Saturday. I wasn't there Sunday because I was out at Ravens. But it's, I think the thing for me that was the biggest takeaway of the weekend, and look, I mean, we're talking about a last place team facing the A's who stink and don't even have a city attached to their team name right now, right? So it kind of speaks
Might as
to,
well, and the bananas outdrew it, right?
well,
Because it's awful.
I mean,
It's two last place teams. It outdrew Adam
I'm.
Jones. I mean, which is like,
I
I mean,
hear you.
they got nothing after Adam Jones. I mean, they don't
I
have
hear
any
you.
more ceremonies coming after Adam Jones.
Agreed. I mean, the bananas thing, I know you keep bringing it up. That's a rock concert. I mean, it's not real, like
Well,
if
Adam
it,
Jones should be a rock concert then.
well, and that was the point I was getting ready to make. Of the weekend, look, they drew 20,000 on Friday night. Sunday they gave away a corduroy Orioles cap, but actually a nice cap compared to what the normal typical cap giveaways look like. But on Saturday, and I don't think this is any reflection on Adam Jones whatsoever because of what you just said, because of the reception that he got at the Savannah Bananas game, which no one who had a ticket to that knew that Adam Jones was going to be there, right? I mean, you didn't buy that ticket thinking, oh, I'm going to go see Adam Jones. But you saw what, if you saw the replay of it on ESPN, you saw what kind of thunderous ovation he got. Same for Buck Showalter, same for Matt Wieters and Nick Markakis the following night. So there's clearly a reverence and a love and an appreciation for the Duquette Buck Showalter Adam Jones era, 2012 through 2016, right? We all agree with that. They didn't win a World Series. They didn't get to a World Series. We understand that. But in the same way, we can appreciate the 1989 why not Orioles, the 92 Orioles who were better than expected, right? So you always have those teams that you still have an affinity for, even if they aren't 66, 70, and 1983 or the three pennant winning teams. But on Saturday night, for Adam Jones, who you and I have talked about Jones a lot over the years. I mean, I covered most of his career. 2010 was my first year starting to cover baseball. I've said that while Manny Machado is a better player, I think there's no question in my mind that Adam Jones is the most important Orioles player since Cal Ripken when you consider what the bulk of the Camden Yards era has been and what the bulk of the post Cal Ripken era has been. For them to only draw 30,000 on a night when he went into the Orioles Hall of Fame and they gave out a bobblehead of his. And I'll fully acknowledge, I think I have three or four Adam Jones bobbleheads now, right? Of different ones they gave out over the years. So it's not like that was a new, unbelievable, novel kind of a giveaway. But knowing how beloved he is in this town, for them to only draw 30,000 for that, I think speaks volumes about how this community feels about not Adam Jones, but this baseball team right now. And more specifically, this organization, more so than just the guys on the field right now. And
This new ownership has been an unmitigated disaster.
I mean, I
Disaster.
don't know
From
what
the
to say
minute
that's
I
been
talked to
positive.
the whistler, he's out there whistling the national anthem now for a last place team. The owner's in witness protection. I mean, he was down on the field. He was pictured with Buck Showalter on the field for 5 minutes. But like,
He's not doing his passing out the hat thing
where's
and all
the
that.
leadership here?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this for months,
Katie Griggs.
but
Give me a break.
It's just right now, and look, we knew that this was going to look the way it looks post trade deadline. To maybe not to this extent, because they played five guys in the outfield this weekend named Dylan Carlson. Okay, he's been on and off the roster all year. Jeremiah Jackson, Greg Allen, who they literally just signed away from the Cubs farm system, Ryan Noda, and Jordan Adams. They went, and this is credit to Jacob Kalbenmeier, because I was too depressed to look up the numbers. They went a combined 1 for 28 at the plate over the weekend. I mean, there is no louder signal to your fan base and to the actual real players on your team that this is meaningless right now. And that might, a lot of people talked about Dylan Beavers, which, you know, I expect to see him in the near future. Every indication is they're waiting to try to protect his rookie status, which, you know, because of the potential for rookie of the year and the draft pick. Same with Basayo, right? I mean, we know that
Yeah,
teams
there's a
do this.
shrewdness in all of
There
that. That
is,
with
but
Angelos, it always came to money. And we do you know how much time we spent around here talking about Matt Wieters' clock getting started back in 8 and 9 and 10? Like, you know,
sure,
I just
and
didn't
it.
get dumped off the boat if Mike Elias has got his eyes open or David Rubenstein wants to figure out that there's not going to be labor peace. You know, going on national television and showing your ignorance is not. Doesn't give me any confidence that I know more about this stuff than he does. But certainly the starting of the clock, all of the shrewdness, all of the how it relates to draft picks and valuations and all of that. That's, dude, we're back to Rio Ruiz. And you know, when they're employees, when Rock Kubacko's on making Ryan Kollmeyer jokes and we're all chuckling about it again, being in last place, I hope they're not. I mean, I hope the organization and I just wish I had some confidence in any of this,
Yeah,
in the
well,
television network, in the owner, in the GM, in Katie Griggs, in Greg Bader, in anyone around there who would give me the confidence to think that they have the competence to move this thing in a different direction. From a brand standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from a community standpoint, and just from the on field. But then, in addition to everything we're talking about that's awful about the team, and I'll let you go on and on and on. Last week, they send out, they pissed off Michael Olesker at the end of his life. All these people that hate me, and they're numerous, and you've met them all, Luke, you've met them all. In the press box, all of them hated me for telling the truth. And now they're all telling the truth about this being a really bad ride with Rubenstein. This is not good. None of this is good. And that's his people sending out more money that they want. It's, dude, it's awful. It's textbook terrible. And you don't have to be Nasty Nestor or Brett Hollander or Rob Long or anyone along the media chain to be into the ecosystem of the fan base to hear how disgruntled people are. I'm pissed off and I don't give them money. I gave them respect a year and a half ago because I thought they would be better people than the creeps that were here for 30 years. And they might be worse. I don't know. We're a year into this. Just the fact that they haven't acknowledged how awful it is, and the place keeps getting emptier and emptier and emptier. And these lines for these bobbleheads are absurd. And just the whole function of what they're supposed to be doing here, serving our community. I don't get it. As far as Adam Jones, I got out of bed 2 weeks ago and watched him speak at 7 in the morning, gave him my card, told him I'd like to get coffee. He works for the Orioles. He's not allowed to have coffee with me. I forgot that when I talked to him. When I was done, I'm like, he ain't calling me. He works for the Orioles.
Yeah, I don't have anything on that part of it. I think, first of all, I was finishing my thought on Dillon Beavers and Bisayo. I understand why they're doing that. I get that. I got why they made the moves they made at the trade deadline, but I think you have to be, and not you have to be, you need to be very careful about where you are. Look, fans are ticked off, and we'll get, I have thoughts on the ticket part of this in a moment, and they're not different from what you were expressing just now, but there is such a vibe and an aura right now of none of this matters right now, and it feels like it's back to where it was 5 years ago. It's not because of who you do have on the major league roster right now. And as I stressed to you when they came out of the trade deadline, the core was intact, right? Those are the guys that are ultimately going to matter. Truly matter, even if they make good moves in the offseason and spend money and all that, but that core has to be legit. And my biggest concern at this point isn't that Dillon Beavers isn't here right now, because I think he's going to be here in a week or two. And same with Bisayo, right? At some point in the next few weeks, we're going to see those guys, whether it's August 16th, whether it's August 20th, whether it's September 1st. But I just see everything that's happened this year, and it just feels like this thing at the major league level is just rotting, right? I mean, part of this is also, when they fired Brandon Hyde, the idea that you were going to have an interim manager for 4.5 months. And I'm not trying to
What
beat
was
up
the plan there, dude?
the
Let's just
plan.
throw him out the side of the boat and we'll figure this out later. Like,
Basically, I mean, and in fairness, you don't see permanent managers hired in season that often. I mean, the Buck Showalter thing 15 years ago, that is way more the exception than the norm. But that said, having said that, there's still 4.5 months of baseball season when you make that move, and you have a coaching staff
I watch
that.
this guy on television, Mancelino. He just looks in, like Dave Tremblay did. Just looked like he's not a manager. You would not bring him in with 10 other candidates and hire him. I do. You just wouldn't.
I think Dave Tremblay looked the part of a manager more than Mancelino, if I'm being totally honest. And I'm not saying that is that Dave Tremblay was this amazing manager or anything.
We have Juan
But
Samwell here. I mean, this, yeah.
between that, the coaching staff that continues to inspire no confidence based on what's on the field, right? I mean, the fundamentally sloppy play we've seen all year. I mean, let's use Sunday as an example. I mean, Keegan Aiken gives up a two-run double in the ninth inning, right? Gunnar Henderson's relay throw was horrible. I mean, that was a play. Dylan Carlson made a really nice play to cut the ball off in the left field corner, prevented it from going to the wall, made a nice play to Gunnar Henderson. If Gunnar, and I'm picking on Gunnar here a little bit because I think his defense overall the last couple months has been far steadier than it was last year. I think his defense has improved in that way. But there is a perfect single, small sample size, one isolated event, but a reflection of like this team doesn't do the little things well. They certainly don't do the big things well. And there was a perfect example of, and I'm picking on Gunner a little bit here, but heavy lies the crown, right? I mean, if you're going to be the superstar that everyone in town is clamoring for the Orioles to sign you to a $600 million contract or whatever he's going to end up getting from whichever team that signs him in a few years, you've got to make that play. And those are the kind of plays that they just consistently have failed to make all year long. And
And I'll say this, and Palmer brought this up, and they brought this up with Joe Orsilak, who never really played on good Orioles teams, right? When they brought Orsilak into the booth the other night, they talked to him about that and how hard it is to, he said, well, I came up, I was, we were 0-21, all of that. He
Sure.
gives it, and I love Joe, right? And Slack, he was on the first team, the team I covered in 92, then, when I went on the air in 91 and 92. So,
Had that swing where it looked like he was chopping wood. I mean, that was what his swing looked like.
dude,
Go
and
ahead, sorry.
everybody loves Slack, but they ask him about like playing through bad seasons, and they ask him why, and he kind of bird. I mean, I'm professional. You're out there playing for your reputation. You're playing for your job. You're playing for your livelihood. And now the eye in the sky does not lie. I'll get a little Ron Jaworski in here for you and the late Steve Sable. crisp baseball and fundamental baseball should never take a day off, right? I mean, you
No.
don't have Cal Ripken throwing sloppy in that era, and he played on all those teams with Lourdes Chalac too. He can mention he was in every one of those games where they stunk. Cal was, and he didn't get asked about that much, but now's the time to talk about that, and crisp. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? These
And look.
five or six guys, the stars of this thing. I mean, Rodriguez is out now. We're waiting on Bradish. I mean, the arm stars, Batista, I mean, Cano, they're afraid to put him in as closer. They're closing with everybody else. So then, I mean, they got five or six players and nothing else, and an empty cupboard.
Yeah.
And a canvas and an owner who apparently has money and is asking for money and has shown himself to be a real thumbs down. This thumbs down about all of this. I keep going back to that. I mean, I just keep going back to the vibe of all of it and how hard it is, and asking Orsalak about it, that Gunnar Henderson's out there playing in the ninth inning of games that don't matter now all of a
Yeah.
sudden. Just
Well,
all the energy of Adley Rutschman 2 years ago when he came up, all that ass patting and rah-rah and chatter it up in the infield and all of that stuff. It just feels like it's the
yeah, the whole thing right now feels like a joyless, soulless operation. And my concern, and again, I'm using that Gunner throw on Sunday as an example, right? Because he's actually someone, I mean, he had a big home run in Chicago last weekend, right? In a game that they were going to lose. So it's not as though he has played poorly, but like that was just the perfect example of situation where just make an okay throw and you nail the go ahead run at the plate, right? And it's still a tie game at least.
does
But
this team have a leader? I remember when Johnny Oates came in and
I
threw over the baked beans in the
sure.
locker room after a particularly bad loss. I don't even remember 92, 3, 4, somewhere in there. Sutcliffe was involved, I think. I mean, Cal's in there, Brady Anderson, all those guys.
Yeah.
And the media went in and it was just pork and beans all over the place. And Johnny lost his mind in the locker room,
Yeah.
military style. And like, I don't need Franks and beans. I just need like Manzolito's not a lead. I mean, Mike
Yeah.
Elias is not a leader. You'll fire your manager on Saturday and show up on Tuesday in Milwaukee. David Rubenstein, I've seen his act. Where they don't have any leadership at any level here, any accountability, just to give me a press pass to sit and ask him some questions. Like, I'm just. I'm
Yeah.
appalled, Luke, if you haven't noticed. I'm appalled. And now they're
Sure.
asking people for money. I'm appalled. And I don't want to be the village jerk. But I've been waiting. I feel like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I've been waiting my whole life. How much more am I going to give these people?
Yeah, and let me just finish that thought because I do want to get into the ticket stuff. But, and I'm trying not to rant about this. You try to be rational about this. There is a rationale to waiting another week or so for Dylan Beavers and Samuel Basayo. I get it. I get it. We've talked about the I get it's for 5 years, 6 years when you're talking about this current regime with the rebuild and doing things the way they've done and all of that, right? But boy, at some point in time, you look at how this season has gone. And the scar tissue being created, and the whole idea of, the old adage, it's really tough to stop losing. And just this is such a toxic season in terms of just how poorly things have gone. And I have the same questions about leadership, right? And who they're going to hire as the manager, who's going to be the coaching staff, what veteran ball players are they going to add to one, improve this team, and two, help lead this team? Because until I see it, I'm not sure who the leaders are among the young core. I think Jordan Westberg is a leader. I'm not saying these guys don't have any leadership qualities, and I'm not saying we also know that a leader isn't always Ray Lewis out in front for the cameras, right?
Who
Sometimes
pulls
it's,
Gunnar Henderson up other than you and me and says, dude,
well,
the hell was that?
they traded those guys away. That they did that at the deadline, like Ryan O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins, and they traded those guys, right? I mean, we talked about that, but I have concern at this point in term from a culture standpoint that you are operating as though these final 2 months don't matter whatsoever, and you can't say otherwise when you have quad A guys. I mean, quad A guys littered. Quad A might be nice to describe a couple of these guys. These might just be triple A guys that have are littering your outfield. And let me be, in full
You need to be
fairness,
snide and call them quad A hopefuls.
in full fairness here, we need to not be disingenuous, and we need to acknowledge Colton Cowser went on the IL on the concussion list on Friday. Tyler O'Neill's back on the IL, right? So this wasn't, they didn't plan to have an outfield of Dylan Carlson, Jeremiah Jackson, Greg Allen, Ryan Noda, and Jordan
But
Adams
while we're
right
in
now.
last place, let's
But
just add an exclamation point.
sure, but I just, my concern is just this season being what it's been, that it's just rotting on the vine, and what kind of damage this is doing to the culture. And look, if you and I talking about it in terms of coverage, talking about it in terms of just watching it, fans just talking about it in terms of consuming the product, what do you think the guys in the clubhouse think of what their roster looks like right now? And look, let me be clear. If those guys had their way, they wouldn't have traded any of the guys at the trade deadline, right? Because they would have been thinking, at least in some miraculous hope of still going on a run, right? So, I mean, players never want to sell. So I want to be clear about that. But when you do have Dylan Beavers at AAA, and even let's put him aside, someone like Judd Fabian at AAA, you know, who doesn't have great numbers at AAA. And let me be clear, he's not really a prospect at this point in time. But he's your in your system. And I would also say, and this I think is a bad reflection of Mike Elias. We've seen Mike Elias draft college outfielder after college outfielder after college outfielder over the last 6 years. And yet they're needing to sign away Greg Allen from the Chicago Cubs organization. And suddenly he's your center, not everyday center fielder, but he's making multiple starts in center field for you. I mean,
Well, they
that's.
got a guy playing right field that's not a right fielder.
I mean, that's just a bad reflection of the state of affairs. And look, we knew they're going to lose a lot of games. And Sunday, they lost because their bullpen's in the state that it's in, right? And Saturday, they lost because Brandon Young, to this point, doesn't look like he's a major league starting pitcher. And the bullpen came in behind him and was even worse for 3 innings after that. And it ended up being a blowout. But I do have a concern. And you know me, I'm Mr. Analytics, I'm Mr. Stat Guy. I'm a nerd when it comes to baseball. I openly admit that. But the human element is there. And I am concerned with the state of affairs and the mental impact this is having, the cultural impact this is having on this club right now. And to your point, who are the guys that are going to say, hey, we need to go out there and grind, guys? You know, I mean, Adam Jones would say it for years, you know, you got to grind, you got to play through it. You know, he played on some terrible teams early in his career. But, you know, the worm turned. And by the time 2014, 15, 16 rolled around, you know, even, you know, a year or two before that, you know,
By the way,
Adam.
let me say something on him because you weren't watching the broadcast because you were at the game. A lot of folks weren't, but I was glued to it on Saturday night. Palmer's respect for Adam Jones as a
Yeah.
player, I have never. Palmer almost cried. Like Palmer got really emotional when Palmer said to him, I have one regret that I didn't get to play with you.
Yeah.
And he meant it. He meant it. It wasn't, Palmer doesn't. I mean, and Palmer kids around and with that, yeah, he's a really weird sense of humor that's really coming out in his old age, which is kind of funny and weirdly endearing to
Gotta
me,
lose that
having
filter.
watched him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like it reminds me of the guy I drank with at the Harbor Castle Westin 30 years ago, and the guy that pulled me up at Jim Henneman's funeral a couple weeks ago. I love Jim Palmer, and for Jim Palmer to dote on Adam Jones in the way that he did. I mean, like ball player kind of Frank Robinson kind of respect for him.
Yeah.
And I saw that and it I'm long way into this, Luke. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have told you that on Thursday, that that's the way Palmer felt about Adam Jones. I would have had to seen that to believe it. I didn't
Yeah.
know it because I heard him call games every night. He was never ass slapping Adam Jones in the Adam Jones era. I never felt like he really loved, I never felt like he put it on for Adam Jones over 10 years on television, but he did the other night in a real
Yeah.
heartfelt way.
Well, it's funny because, and you know, I kind of said my piece about the on-field thing, and let's talk about this, and then I do have thoughts on the ticket thing, but I was really trying to think about this a lot over the weekend, and I think about the history of this franchise, and you know, for years, and go back 50 years, right? 60 years at this point, you know, it speaks to how long it's been. There was always a sentiment there was never going to be another Brooks Robinson, and there wasn't. But Baltimore was lucky and blessed that Cal Ripken, it's almost miraculous that Cal came as close as he did to being another Brooks Robinson, right? And what Cal meant for my generation. And thinking about that. And look, from 1965 when Brooks was in his prime to 1995 when Cal was running around taking his victory lap, 21-31. The sports world, the world in general, had changed so much in those 30 years, right? In 1965, you could go to a local establishment and see Baltimore Colts players having dinner, having a beer, and you could like break bread with them, right? Which in 1995, that era, that ship had long sailed, right? So now we look at 1995 to 2025. There's never going to be another Cal or another Brooks Robinson. At close as Cal came, and I mean that as a comp, an absolute compliment to Cal Ripken. There's not going to be another Cal Ripken. My question now, Nestor, and look, Brooks was almost like a saint, you know, a baseball saint, right? I mean, no one had a bad word to say about Brooks and Cal, and similar to that, not exactly the same, because you know you'd hear, you know, I mean, Cal wasn't quite as open and warm, and it was a little more guarded, but still signed autographs and signed autographs and signed autographs. I was one of those kids in post game in 1995 that summer that got his autograph after a game as an 11-year-old. But I think about it now, rough around the edges as he could be, I just think about how important Adam Jones was to this 21st century iteration of the Baltimore Orioles that doesn't have any of the gravitas or history or success that the Orioles had from the mid 60s through the mid 1980s. And my question now, Nestor, is will this club even have another Adam Jones at this point in time? And what I mean by that is not to be fatalistic in terms of like, obviously things are horrible on the field right now. We're going to get to the tickets. But you think about what Adam Jones did and he signed a contract, you know, signed an extension in 2012. He was what, a year away from, you know, becoming a free agent. Could have got more money on the open market. Could have gone back home to California. I mean, he, you know, to this day, still, you'll still see him tweet about the Padres and San Diego and his affinity, and which is totally fine. But he signed for. Even though he was paid well, like let's not act like it was like this terrible contract, but he could have got more money on the open market. But he valued some loyalty. He valued the idea of making Baltimore his second home, right? You know, not in the way that we think about it, Brooks 50 or 60 years ago,
Oh,
but
he could have been an Oriole for life if they just didn't, if they
sure.
didn't
Well,
whisk him off to Japan. I mean,
and
I
look, I
thought they
mean,
should have kept him and just paid him to keep him around.
and
But
that's.
it would have
But
been really hard for him to be on a team like this.
sure, no question.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't
But I
want to be on a
just,
team like this.
but as rough around the edges as he could be, and look, I mean, Adam would be the first to tell you there were some moments that he said, you know, some things were, you know, be a little rough around the edges and say, okay, probably shouldn't have said that. But he was organic. He was real, right? It's not this, so much of what we see, not from the Orioles specifically, but so much that we see with players' interactions with media and all that isn't necessarily always genuine, right? I don't need to tell you that, but Adam kind of told you how he felt, and I'll pull back the curtain a little bit, and I don't think he would mind me saying this, but you know, we in the media that covered him on a daily basis, you knew that there was a good Adam after games and there was a bad Adam after games, but you know what I always respected? He was always there after losses. Even at times when some other guys that were very well respected, even to this day, wouldn't always be at their locker after a game. He would talk. He was better talking after losses than he was after wins. He was
That's
better.
called leadership,
He
dog.
was better talking about him, or talking about his teammates rather than himself having a big game. If he had a bad game or had a mistake that he made, he owned it. So all of that, and we haven't even gotten into what he's done off the field for this community, and the fact that he's still involved to this day in this community. The work he did with the Boys and Girls Club, and
He's been
so many other
everywhere
things,
here the last 2 weeks.
and
He's been
that's,
ubiquitous. I've been in a room with him. I shook his hand 2 weeks ago.
but he's been that way for a long time now, right? I mean, he signed that contract, that extension, 13 years ago. That was 2012, and I just think about that. And the thing that's concerning for me, and I don't say this to, some of this is a commentary on sports in
Yeah,
general.
he's one of the few guys this stuff is important
Sure,
to,
where
right?
I question. No, we're never going to have another Brooks Robinson. No, we're never going to have another Cal Ripken. Are we going to have another Adam Jones? And that's a compliment to him, but also a, like, the Orioles need to have that. And this is where we start to get into long-term deals and, the idea that nothing matters and it's all about, future value and service time and all and, payroll, like all of that. But there's still something to be said for the human element and a fan base being able to attach themselves to a certain player, right? And I think the closest thing the Orioles have to that potentially right now would be Gunnar Henderson. I get it. He's a Scott Boras client. The closer he gets to free agency, I mean, then it's just, you're not gonna, you're just gonna, you're gonna
Well, and
have
as
to.
the stadium empties out and the ownership proves
Sure.
itself to be,
So,
and the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Blue Jays
right.
prove to be difficult to compete with, this is what got Messina out of here, mismanagement. It's
Who
what
knows?
got
Right.
Machado out of here. It's what got Chris Davis signed. And, it was good to see that he didn't get booed or anything. I mean, he's, I guess, still loved by the
He
20,000 real
got a
hardcores
nice
that were out
name.
there.
Well, and look, I mean, Chris Davis didn't hold a gun to the Orioles' head and force them to give him that. Like, they could have let him walk.
Nor did Glenn Davis a generation
Sure.
ago, right?
So, and again, I don't. I think it's important. The point I'm trying to make here, yes, it's about the present day, but it's also just appreciating that. But also, I don't want the Orioles to be the Tampa Bay Rays. And look, when I say that, I don't mean so much in terms of their ballpark situation and the fact that they're playing in the minor leagues. I mean, in the sense that, yes, to their credit, the Rays, for the better part of going on 20 years now, have stayed very competitive. Who does that fan base attach itself to? I mean, Evan Longoria was kind of that for a while, right? And it's not as though they haven't signed anyone to any extensions, right? I mean, heck, their shortstop, who is now out of the picture because of his, dealings with a minor and everything, what, Wander Franco, I think it's Franco, right? I'm suddenly blanking on his name. But my point that I'm trying to make with that is, the Rays are kind of run in this soulless, joyless roster churn. Don't get attached to any of these players whatsoever because they're going to be gone in 4 or 5 years, and
That's
it's
the
all
problem with
about them.
college sports too, right? I mean,
Yeah,
that's what's going to wreck college
sure.
sports.
I mean, the Terps this fall. When basketball starts up, not football, they're gonna have an entire new team. I mean, everyone really enjoyed this team. I mean, end of the season aside, with all the drama with Willard, I mean, the Crab Five, and that was fun. Literally none of those guys are back. No one on the bench is back. I mean, it's, but
It's like building a brand through a horse.
yeah,
At the Kentucky Derby next year, you better have the jockeys, you better have the trainers, because the horses won't be the same.
it really is. It tests the limits of what you always hear in terms of, I root for the laundry, not the players. Baloney, right? There's always been an attachment to players. Now, some more so than others, right? You can't keep everybody, nor should you try to keep everybody, because there are plenty of guys that don't work out. Chris Davis being a perfect example of that. They should have let him go, right? That would have been the smart move. In hindsight, in a perfect world, you would have kept Manny Machado, and Manny Machado would have been, maybe not as revered as Adam Jones off the field, but he's a Hall of Fame ball player, right? He's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. So I guess when I just see Adam Jones celebrate, I see the ovation Buck Showalter got. I see
the ovation that Markakis got. I mean, Wayne Kirby got an amazing pop from the crowd because they know that him and Jones are tight, right? I mean, the fact that Wayne Kirby, their first base coach from a decade ago, was back. And look, that speaks to one, how much fans did enjoy that era, as weird and unexpected and at times dysfunctional as it was, they still won and still had a really nice 5-year run. But, you know, I just see that, and I see what's happening right now and how this thing, 2 years into what was supposed to be so much prosperity for a long period of time, has gone off the rails. And it doesn't mean it can't get back on the track. I've talked about that. There is a path for them fixing this, but man, a lot has to go right. And now this is where we get into the ticket situation and what has happened. And I'll say, I don't do many plugs. Kyle Goon wrote a very heavily fan-driven piece, talked to a lot of people. You know, he put out on social media, "Hey, talk to me, guys. What's going on with the Birdland memberships? What's going on with your situation? Where are your circumstances? Who's okay with this? Who's indifferent to this? And who has major concerns about this?"
By the way, I used
So,
to do that on the radio, taking phone calls all day
sure.
long. And when everybody's pissed, it made me a bad guy. It did.
But I just, my big takeaway when you're eliminating the 13-game plan and the 29-game plan, and you're pushing people to 20-game plans and 40-game plans, and you have individuals who, even putting that element of it aside, you have individuals, and I've seen this on social media from multiple people. You know, I don't, I can't say I have it vetted with 100% certainty, but it's enough of a sample size of people that there's something to it, that you have people who have had the same seats for years, in some cases decades, and they've now been told that those seats that they've sat in for the longest time are now seats that are only eligible to have if you have a full season plan. Boy, this is what the Orioles are doing right now in announcing all this is not about trying to get new people. It feels very much like they're trying to exploit their P1. You know, I think that's the right term,
Like
right?
the thing you would do when you're trying to move the team to Nashville.
I mean, it is so tone deaf. It is so, I mean, it's, I think, look, are they going to lose their entire fan base with that? No. But I think what you will see is you're going to see a lot of 13 game people just say, "I'm done." Not done meaning I'll never go to a game again, but
I'll go when I want.
I'm going to go to 6 or 7 games, or maybe I'll get 13 games, but I'm going to pick and choose when I go, and I'll see how the team is playing halfway through the year. I think your 29 game plan holders are going to go down to 20.
Does anybody think they can't get a playoff ticket in this town, that you have to have a season
And
ticket
that's
book to
the
get a
other thing.
playoff
I
ticket?
mean,
I mean,
that's the other
all
thing.
of that mystery's gone. All of that, "We're going to give you
What happened last
$5 beers that
October?
I can get across the street." All of the, like, the Camden Yards is the greatest place ever, except when it's empty and they're honoring one of the heroes of the only hero they really had this century. Just all of it. Just
It's
all of it.
just.
And I'm gonna write my thoughts at some point here before it's all over with, and I can come on and vomit in real time with you about it. But the disregard and treating fans like an ATM, that's where I burred up with Angelos 22 years ago, and it got me on the wrong side of being a prick, because
Well,
I
and
didn't
I.
like people being mistreated, and I lo and these people are worse because they're hiding. And
Well, and I.
they're not even from around here. None of them.
And I think the other part of this that is not, you know, it's the worst kept secret in baseball at this point is you have this going into 2026. And even if the club does turn things around and they're back into wild card contention or playoff contention, whatever next year, right? I mean, there's a path for that. A lot has to go well, and they have to make a lot of really good decisions this offseason. But even if they do, you've done this. Also, knowing there is a looming work stoppage in 2027. I mean, you talk about this isn't a double whammy. This is a triple whammy of disaster on the field in 2025. Second straight year you have alienated your Birdland membership. You know, your
fans of the fans, right? I mean, the hardcore, the diehards, the 15,000 people that are still going out there on a regular basis right now, that you've alienated a lot of them. And, you know, going into 26 and not knowing what this offseason is going to look like. And then, and this isn't the Orioles individually, but they're part of the 30 clubs and one of the 30 owners that have already, you know, anyone who's anyone that knows anything about Major League Baseball and business and the PA and everything, they're just assuming at this point that there's going to be a lockout for 27. And now that doesn't mean the entire season's going to get wiped out, but that doesn't mean that you wouldn't lose the first month of the season, or it's going to impact another offseason in terms of how you spend and you try to improve your club and all that. That, man, that is a triple whammy right there of, I mean, you might burn your fan base down to the ground the way you're operating right now. So very, I mean, it's disheartening. It really is, because those are the Birdland membership people. They're the ones you should be taking the most care of right now. My goodness, those are the ones you should be kissing their rear ends right now, because they're the ones who've paid for and to watch this mess and are continuing to pay to watch this
All these
mess.
people know is they put $1.8 billion into this, and Katie Griggs came in here as a genius, and Mark Fine came in here from his rodeo show and working for that, you know, the creeps that run UFC, and they were all going to sprinkle magic dust onto this 100-win team, and they were just going to roll the ball out with their arrogance, because they don't need people named Aparici or people named Bordick or people, you know, they don't need Rick Dempsey. They don't need, you know, they don't need Baltimore people. They know better. They know better. They have statistics. They have analytics. They know better.
I mean, it just comes across as, I mean, you use the term arrogant. I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, just in terms of how it comes across, you know, are they as individual human beings arrogant? I mean, I don't, some of the names you mentioned, I don't know very well, but boy, it exudes that. It
The
comes
fact that you
across
don't
that
know
way.
them talks to their arrogance.
But
You're in the media, you're down there 55, 60 times a year.
I
The
just
fact that
look.
they don't come in and have a handshake with you and everybody else in the media, all 10 of you they let in, like
It's just it's not good right now. And again, that's not to say that they can't fix. I mean, they've got to fix the on-field product, right? I mean, you can give $5 tickets away. And look, maybe they should be doing that the rest of the year, because I mean, it should be minor league prices for a minor league product right now. I mean, that's where we're kind of back at that, at least for these last 2 months of the season. But they've got to fix the on-field, but man, there's so much work to do. And we've talked about this going back to what I thought was going to be the most telling was last offseason. What changes did they make? You know, it's
And
a
what
lot.
changes are coming this off season that are going to get people excited? And that's what we'll on our next program we'll do that. But yeah, I mean, that's the inherent problem here, is that if Gunnar Henderson and Holiday do this and that, and Rogers does this and that, and Bradish comes back, and you and I sit here and rah 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 and shish boom bah them plenty. I watched the broadcast over the weekend, and I watched the internet, and I watched the way they behave, not just with me. They validated everything I've talked about, how arrogant they've been over the last year and a half. And they have no authenticity. They have no way to buy it. Cal Ripken, they tried to buy him into it, and he's sitting behind home plate, has his hands up in the air. I mean, I don't. Buck comes back for a night. I mean, the bananas, as much as you keep telling me it's bananas and oranges,
Well, there are lessons to take from that. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
the bananas got some excitement down there
you
that they
should.
can't do with the primary product, and that's criminal.
Well, I mean,
And it's good on the
the product
bananas.
stinks right now. I mean, it's just they're bad. Like no one's going out of their way to come watch a losing product. So again, they have to fix that. Like that has to be number one, right? Because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we were still talking about many of these other issues, business tickets. Sponsorships, community relations, you know, community relationships with local businesses, all of that was there. But you could say what? They're really good on the field. They've got to fix that part in concert with fixing all those other things. But man,
season ticket announcements and changes and all that, that is not inspiring confidence whatsoever. And at the point now where I think you have a fan base that went from, and when I say fan base, I mean the people that were actually still going, the people that are still engaged with the product, which we know the casuals tuned out months ago, understandably so, right? It's a last place team.
Dude, Angelos
They
and
have
his family treated these people like trash every minute for 30 years. They're literally, I mean, like Angelos treated these people like they were underneath of the sole of his shoe, and his punk kid sat there and treated Dan Connolly and anyone that showed up on Martin Luther King Day. This is 2 years ago. I mean, this is not. Other than winning a little bit 2 years ago and Delmon Young and 5 minutes of Buck Showalter and Cal Ripken doing this 30 years ago now, there ain't been much here. I mean, beyond Springsteen
I
and
can't
Billy Joel.
disagree.
And so these people who shat upon me 15, 16 months ago when I came like Oliver Twist, with my hands out saying, I'm here to help you. They're not good people. They're not smart people. They're not community people. They're not authentic people. They're not people that have really thought anything about embracing the community here, or getting out, or even knowing you. And you're down there, sitting in their seats, while the press box still is where it is.
I mean, it's just
Surprising they're not coming in there with carpenters over your shoulder, getting the measurements out with Schneider in there while you're in there in the middle of the third inning, because you're enjoying your last month or two there. But I mean, in all sincerity, I run a business. I'm a local person. I talk to people that run businesses all day long, everywhere here. This has been a special operation for a long, long time, getting by on, we're the Orioles. You need
sure.
us. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, so not only has the new ownership group collectively not really acknowledged that scar tissue that's there and a lot of it,
Trauma is what I called it.
but now I what whatever however we want to describe it, now it feels like not only are they ignoring that, they are now trying to drain every last penny they can get from people that still
We're
are buying
already on the
into,
fence to begin with
yeah.
before 101 wins
So
came 2 years ago.
it's, man, it is not a good, it's not a good state of affairs right now. Captain Obvious statement, I get that,
Yeah, well,
but
who's gonna? Yeah,
man,
I'm gonna go back to the
it's
Johnny
just
Oates. We're the leaders. Who's gonna fix it? Yeah.
joyless, thankless right now. It feels joyless and thankless to be an Orioles fan right now, especially those folks who had season ticket plans, had a plan for a long time, and now they're being told we need more from you. I know what if I were in that spot, now I'm not someone who's paying tick for tickets, so full disclosure there. Boy, I would feel a certain way about that, and I don't think the Orioles would like my answer if
And
it
you
were me
love
in that
baseball, and
spot.
I
And
love
I love
baseball. We
baseball.
sit here, we love baseball, and I know how I've been treated by these people who I've done nothing to except offer them coffee and offer to help and give them free advice that I'm going to give them either way and free criticism and, on loan. Stink, stank, stunk. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.